堂听 class.com。
Now we will begin part A with the first conversation. Number one.
Do you want to go on a trip with us to Florida this spring? It'll cost about $300 a person.
$300? Do you think I just inherited a fortune?
What can be inferred about the man? Number two.
My watch stopped again, and I just got a new battery.
Why don't you take it to Smith's Jewelry? They can check it for you, and they're pretty reasonable.
What does the man mean? Number three.
We're going to change our meeting from Monday to Tuesday.
It's all the same to me.
What does the man mean? Number four.
We plan to go to the beach after class. Want to come?
I'd love to, but Professor Jones wants to speak with me.
What will the woman probably do? Number five.
Janet's kind of worried about his grades.
But she's getting A's and B's, isn't she? What does the man imply about Janet? Number six.
You look great since you've been taking your exercise classes.
Thanks. I've never felt better in my life. What does the man imply? Number seven. I had a hard time getting through this novel.
I know how you feel. Who can remember the names of 35 different characters?
What does the woman imply? Number eight. That's a long line. Do you think there'll be any tickets left?
I doubt it. Guess we'll wind up going to the second show.
What does the woman mean? Number nine.
This course is much too hard for me.
Sorry you decided to take it. What does the man ask the woman? Number ten. Are you going home for winter vacation?
I was going to stay on here as a research assistant.
What can be inferred about the woman? Number 11. Hello?
Hello, this is Dr. Steve Crawford. I'm calling to remind you that you're supposed to make an appointment with your annual checkup tomorrow.
Oh, thanks. It's a good thing you called. I thought it was 4:15 today. What does the man mean? Number 12.
How wonderful. You won the scholarship. Can you believe it?
No. It's almost too good to be true. What does the man mean? Number 13.
Excuse me, Professor Davidson, but I was hoping to talk to you about my class project for economics.
I have a class in a few minutes. Why don't you come and see me during office hours tomorrow? When will the woman discuss her project with Professor Davidson? Number 14. How are you feeling?
The stuff the nurse gave me seems to have helped, but it's making me awfully drowsy.
What does the woman mean? Number 15. Bill Smith has volunteered to write a summary of the proposals we've agreed on.
Will I have a chance to review it?
What does the woman want to know? Number 16.
Why don't you wear that yellow shirt that your sister gave you for your birthday?
I love that shirt, but it's missing two buttons. What does the man mean? Number 17.
How many classes do you have today?
Just one, from 3 till 6. What does the man mean? Number 18.
Our football team didn't play very well.
That's true, but at least we won the game. What does the man mean? Number 19. This has been an unusually cool summer.
Uh-huh. I actually had to get out my wool sweaters in August.
What does the woman imply? Number 20. I got some bad news for you. The store where I work is laying off staff.
Are they going to let you go?
What does the woman want to know? Go on to the next page. Number 21. I'd like to pick this film up by 4 tomorrow afternoon.
I can have it for you at 2 if you'd like.
What does the woman say about the film? Number 22. I talked to Philip today, and he said he'd be coming to the party.
Oh, so he can come after all.
What can be inferred about Philip? Number 23. Gary insists on buying the food for the picnic.
That's pretty generous, but shouldn't he at least offer to share the expense?
What does the woman suggest they do? Number 24. How's the new job going?
Well, I'm getting used to lots of new things, but I wish the supervisor would give me some feedback.
What does the woman mean? Number 25.
Did Linda ever finish that instruction chapter?
I'm not sure. She spent hours on end rewriting. What does the man imply about Linda? Number 26.
The supermarket sounds...
Number 27.
Have you heard anything about the new professor?
Just that she's no pushover. What does the man say about the professor? Number 28. I need to get a copy of my birth certificate.
Sorry, but we can only accept requests by mail now.
What does the woman mean? Number 29.
When's the earliest flight from Washington to New York?
There's a shuttle at 6, and if that's full, there's another at 7. What does the man mean? Number 30. How'd you like to help me plan the refreshments for the astronomy club meeting tomorrow?
Sure. Let's be careful not to overdo it, though. Last time we had enough for 3 clubs put together.
What does the woman mean? This is the end of Part A. Now we will begin Part B with the first conversation. Questions 31 through 33. Listen to a conversation between two friends who meet on the street.
David, can I give you a hand with one of those grocery bags?
Sure, Nancy. Can you take this one, please? I didn't realize how heavy these bags were.
Why'd you buy so much stuff when you have to walk home from the store?
Well, I didn't intend to. But I'm having some people over, and I guess I needed more than I expected.
What's the occasion?
Well, the people I live with, the trainers, have been on vacation for a month, and I thought I'd surprise them. I'm inviting some of their friends and family for a welcome home dinner.
That's really thoughtful of you.
I figure it's the least I can do. They've been letting me stay with them rent-free while I'm in school.
Really? That's pretty generous of them.
Well, they understand how difficult it is to make ends meet when you're a student. They've been such a big help to me. I thought that this might be a small way to thank them for the generosity. Number 31. What is David trying to do? Number 32. Why did David think he wouldn't have a problem? Number 33. Why is David appreciative of the framers? Questions 34 through 37. Listen to a conversation between two friends. Hey, how was your trip?
Wonderful. I spent most of my time at the art museum. I especially liked the new wing. I was amazed to hear the guide explain all the problems they had building it.
Right. I just read an article that went on and on about the cost. $90 million total.
Yeah, the guide mentioned that. You could see they spared no expense.
It looked really unusual, at least from what I saw in the picture.
It is. The basic design is 2 triangles. In fact, there are triangles all over. The paving stones in the courtyard, the skylight, and even a lot of the sculptures. One sculpture is a mobile. It's in the courtyard, and it's made of pieces of aluminum that move slowly in the air. Really impressive.
That was in the article, too. It said the original was steel, and it weighed so much that it wasn't safe to hang.
Right. They did it over in aluminum, so it wouldn't come crashing down on someone's head.
You know, the articles went into that in detail. There was even an interview with the sculptor.
I'd like to read that. Would you mind if I borrowed the magazine sometime?
No, I wouldn't mind, if I haven't thrown it out yet. Number 34. What did the woman think of the new wing of the museum? Number 35. How had the man learned about the museum? Number 36. According to the woman, what do the paving stones, skylights, and mobile have in common? Number 37. What was the problem with the original mobile? This is the end of Part B. Now we will begin Part C with the first talk. Questions 38 through 41. Listen to an announcement in a university class.
In the few minutes that remain of today's class, I'd like to discuss next week's schedule. Because I'm presenting a paper at a conference in Detroit on Thursday, I won't be here for either Wednesday or Friday's class. I will, however, be here for Monday. Next Friday, a week from today, is the midterm exam, marking the halfway point in the semester. Professor Andrews has agreed to administer the exam. In place of the usual Wednesday class, I've arranged an optional review session. Since it is optional, attendance will not be taken. However, attending the class would be a good idea for those worried about the midterm. So remember, optional class next Wednesday, midterm Friday.
Number 38. What is the purpose of the talk? Number 39. At what point during the semester does this talk take place? Number 40. What did Professor Andrews agree to do? Number 41. What will occur at next Wednesday's class time? Questions 42 through 46. Listen to part of a talk given in an anthropology class. Today's lecture will center on prehistoric people of the Nevada Desert. Now, most of these prehistoric desert people moved across the countryside throughout the years. I think that they were wandering aimlessly. Far from it. They actually followed a series of carefully planned moves. Where they moved depended on where food was available. Places where plants were ripening, fish were spawning. Now, often when these people moved, they carried all their possessions on their backs. But if the journey was long, extra food and tools were sometimes stored in caves or beneath rocks. One of these caves is now an exciting archaeological site. Beyond its small opening is a huge underground grotto. Even though the cave is very large, it was certainly too dark and dusty for the travelers to live in. But it was a great place to hide things, and tremendous amounts of food supplies and artifacts have been found there. The food includes dried fish, seeds, and nuts. The artifacts include stone spear points and nuts. The spear points are actually rather small. Here's a picture of some of the finds. You can see their size in relation to the hands holding them. Number 42. What is the main subject of this talk? Number 43. What point does the speaker make about the prehistoric people of the Nevada Desert? Number 44. Why didn't people live in the cave described by the speaker? Number 45. What have archaeologists found in the cave? Number 46. Why does the speaker show a photo to the class? Questions 47 through 50. Listen to part of a lecture given in a marine biology class.
To us, the environment in which fish dwell often seems cold, dark, and mysterious. But there are advantages to living in water, and they play an important role in making fish what they are. One is that water isn't subject to sudden temperature changes. Therefore, it makes an excellent habitat for a cold-blooded animal. Another advantage is the water's ability to easily support body weight. Protoplankton has approximately the same density as water, so a fish in water is almost weightless. This weightlessness in turn means two things. One, a fish can get along with a light weight and simple bone structure. And two, limitations to a fish's size are practically removed. Yet there is one basic difficulty to living in water, the fact that it's incompressible. For a fish to move through water, it must actually shove it aside. Most can do this by wiggling back and forth in snake-like motion. The fish pushes water aside by the forward motion of its head and with a curve of its body and its flexible tail. Next, the water flows back along the fish's narrowing side, closing in at the tail and helping the fish propel itself forward. The fact that water is incompressible has literally shaped the development of fish. A flat and angular shape can be moved through water only with difficulty. And for this reason, fish have a basic shape that is beautifully adapted to deal with this peculiarity.
Number 47. What is the talk mainly about? Number 48. What does the speaker mention as a problem that water presents to fish? Number 49. The speaker compares a fish's movement with that of what creature? Number 50. What aspect of a fish does the speaker discuss in the most detail? This is the end of Section 1, Listening Comprehension. Begin Part A with the first conversation. Number 1.
How's your paper coming along?
My typewriter's broken.
What does the man mean?
Have you tried thinking about the past?
I got the last beat, and it was out of this world.
What does the man mean? Number 3.
If you stay late, will you be sure to lock up the office when you leave?
Okay. I hope I won't be more than an hour.
What does the man mean? Number 4.
Nancy really wants to see on Thursday.
Yes, but she can't, can she?
What does the man say about Nancy? Number 5.
Let me help you with those packages.
Thanks, but it's only 3/4 of a block.
What does the woman tell the man? Number 6.
Did you know that Arthur has 3 brothers living on 3 different continents?
He must get an incredible phone bill every month.
What does the woman imply about Arthur? Number 7.
This calculator isn't working right.
I think you've got the battery in upside down.
What does the woman mean? Number 8.
You should buy a good guidebook and study it before our trip to Montreal.
Well, we could, but they're still overpriced. What about the library?
What does the man imply? Number 9.
I always want a little something to eat about this time of day.
So do I. Let's have a snack now and then have a light lunch later.
What are the speakers discussing? Number 10.
I've just been over to my friend Tom's new apartment. It's much bigger than my place.
But more expensive, I guess.
What does the woman mean? Number 11.
Could you mail these letters for me, please?
More letters? Your friends are going to be very happy to hear from you.
What does the man imply about the woman? Number 12.
Does Professor Ford always come to class?
If I told.
What does the man imply about Professor Ford? Number 13.
Would you have some time this week to go over these questions with me?
How about tomorrow, pal?
What does the man mean? Number 14.
Hey, John. John.
Save your breath. She's out of earshot.
What does the woman mean? Number 15.
You only have water to serve your guests?
This isn't just water. This is imported mineral water. What does the woman imply? Number 16.
I see a new bookstore has just opened on Main Street.
It may be a new store, but the books are far from new. What does the man mean? Number 17.
Alice has been spending a lot of time at the library lately.
Well, she's got a paper due and two final exams next week. What has Alice probably been doing? Number 18.
It's going to cost a fortune to get my carpet.
Why don't you just trade it in for a new one? What does the man suggest the woman do? Number 19. Winter's over at last. Time to pack up my gloves and boots.
I've been waiting for this for months.
What does the woman mean? Number 20.
How did the game go the other night? Did your team win?
Are you kidding? That would be a first. What does the man imply? Go on to the next page. One.
Dennis told us he likes to play cards.
Well, we've invited him three times, and he hasn't come once. What can be inferred about Dennis? Number 22.
I invited my class to him for coffee.
In this tiny place? What does the man imply? Number 23. Excuse me. I don't understand why Flight 213 has been delayed. The weather seems fine now.
I'm afraid New York got three times as much snow as we did here. It should be clear by noon, though.
What does the woman imply? Number 24. Take a look at this gift house. Maybe we can find something to get Janet for her new house.
Okay, but remember, we can't afford a lot.
What does the woman mean? Number 25. Are you still waiting for Bob?
I don't know why I bother. The store will be closed by the time we get there.
What does the woman mean? Number 26. Would you like to come with us for coffee a little later?
I'm off caffeine. Medical restriction.
What does the woman mean? Number 27.
Mary seems surprised that she got a research grant.
Well, she shouldn't have been. Everybody knows that she's brilliant. What does the man mean? Number 28. Mind if I leave my umbrella here in the hallway?
Not at all. But first, shake it off outside, would you?
What does the woman tell the man? Number 29.
According to this article, the former boxing champ is going to try again. He's coming out of retirement for the third time.
Is a comeback at his age at all likely? What does the man imply about the former champion? Number 30.
Don't you think Professor Morrison's test was too difficult?
Well, I must admit I had been expecting more than just a passing grade in biology. What does the man mean? This is the end of Part A. Go on to the next page. Part B. Now we will begin Part B with the first conversation. Questions 31 through 34. Listen to a conversation about vacations. Have you made any plans to go away during semester break? I've been thinking of skiing.
I really haven't had time to think about my vacation. I've been concentrating on getting ready for my exam, especially philosophy. But I'll probably go to the beach.
Why the beach?
Well, it would be nice to get away from this cold weather and just lie in the sun and relax after working so hard.
It's true that skiing does require work. And you have to get up early and wait in long lines at the service. Thanks, I think you've helped me make up my mind.
Sure. Now maybe you can use your mind to think about something else, like your study.
Number 31. With whom is the man speaking? Number 32. What has the woman mainly been thinking about? Number 33. Where will the woman probably spend her vacation time? Number 34. What does the woman think the man should do? Questions 35 and 38. Listen to a conversation between a doctor and her patient.
Hello, Jane. I haven't seen you in a while. What seems to be the problem?
Actually, I'm a little embarrassed about coming here. I feel fine right now, but you know how much stuff is going around. Anyway, every year around the holidays, like clockwork, I come down with something.
And so you're interested in prevention. What symptoms do you usually get?
You know, cough, fever, runny nose, my head and bones ache, chills even. I'm usually miserable for a week and it ends up ruining my holiday.
Sounds like a typical flu to me. As you said, lots of people have it. Influenza often strikes when people are overtired, stressed out, and not eating nutritious food. And also, you increase your exposure to a virus when you're in big crowds, where lots of people are coughing and sneezing.
I certainly spend a lot of time in department stores around the holidays, buying gifts for people.
Yes, and so you increase your exposure to airborne viruses just when your body's resistance is already low from all of the running around you do.
So what can I do to ward off the flu?
Actually, it's fairly simple. Get a lot of rest, eat well. That way your immune system will be bolstered, and you'll be more able to fight off illness.
All these things make sense, but one more question. Aren't I bound to get sick anyway if there's an outbreak in the dorm?
I didn't mention you live in the dormitory. In that case, I'd also suggest you get immunized. The vaccine available prevents the three main types of influenza. Why don't you go to the University Health Center? It's also free there.
I'll do it right away. It would be nice to feel well during the holidays for once.
Number 35. Why did the man go to see his doctor? Number 36. How does the man describe his health problems? Number 37. What might be a reason the man gets ill? Number 38. Why does the doctor suggest the man go to the University Health Center? This is the end of Part B. Go over. Now we will begin Part C with the first talk. Questions 39 through 42. Listen to a news report.
Ready, the value of paintings and frescoes was badly damaged today when rainwater poured through a roof at the State Museum. As deep rainstorms lashed the central and southern sections of the state, part of the museum's roof, which was scheduled to be repaired, collapsed, and water cascaded into two storerooms. The museum director said that several well-known pieces, including oil, watercolors, and frescoes, had been damaged, although only one object, the 19th century fresco, was damaged beyond repair. She added that inspection for damage had not been completed, and therefore she could not estimate costs of repair and replacement.
Number 39. What part of the museum flooded? Number 40. What was damaged? Number 41. What cannot be restored? Number 42. What did the director say about the cost of damages?